Welcome back, Dynasty lovers, to another episode of the Dynasty Interview Fantasy Football Podcast. I'm your host, Joseph Adrian, with my co-host,
Scott Martin.
So this is episode three of the running backs, the 2023 NFL draft class, coming at you hot and heavy here, finishing up the running backs here, we'll be talking about the 101 pick here as well then too. Everyone knows Bijan Robinson, so we'll dive into him as well. But to have a good group here for you today then. So we have Keaton Mitchell out of East Carolina then, Cameron Peoples out of App State, Deneric Prince out of Tulsa, the one and only Bijan Robinson out of Texas, Chris Rodriguez Jr. out of Kentucky, Tajay Spears Tulane, Sean Tucker Syracuse, and then Deuce Vaughn out of Kansas State then. So pretty good group here today. So I can't wait to get talking about them then.
All right, let's do it.
Let's do it. So first up on the docket, Keaton Mitchell, East Carolina then. So a little guy, came in at 5'8", 179 pounds then, ran in a 4.37 40, had a 38-inch vertical, a 10'6" broad jump, and his 10-yard split was 1.48, which is, these are the fastest of this class then. So very quick guy. But what percentiles you got for these?
98th percentile 40. 88th percentile vertical jump, 90th percentile broad jump.
Yeah, and then as far as production, had two very productive years these past couple years then. Definitely 2022 standing out. So he ran for 1,452 yards then, 7.2 yards per carry, 14 touchdowns, 27 receptions for 252 yards, and one touchdown through the air then. So, Scotty, I guess I'll let you take Keaton Mitchell. While you start off, what do you think of him?
First thing that jumps out is, number one, this dude is lightning fast. So he's definitely got that home run speed. And 4.37 is pretty top tier percentile. So and it shows up on film. The problem is he measures small and he looks small. And he runs that way too. So I fear for him at the next level. I just don't know how his body could possibly, you know, stand up to the, you know, being an every down back. He's kind of just sort of going to be a scat back. But overall, like, his vision is above average. I thought he was always looking for daylight, and he finds some big play cutback options, finds the running lane pretty well when he's running outside the tackles, and shows excellent patience. Sometimes he's very indecisive, he just tries to avoid contact at all cost. It's not that he like is completely aphysical, but he does his best to try to avoid it. So if he tries to run between the tackles, he just gets stood up easily and you just don't see him break any. He can flat slam on the accelerator though out in open space. And if he's not touched, he's gone. His start stop is truly special. And he shows some moves out in open space. So he's got an okay stiff arm. He has an okay jump cut. Maybe I would expect somebody this fast to be more elusive, but it's above average. He offers a little bit in the passing game, if he didn't have these super bad concentration drops. So 27 catches on 34 targets with 4 drops. And, if he could catch, he could be a legit weapon out of the backfield. He hangs on to the football, which is surprising for a smaller back, but no fumbles on 201 carries. That's pretty respectable. He did have 2 fumbles in 2021 on 174 carries, but that's pretty good. And in pass protection, like, he's non-existent. So, he's definitely going to have to be a scat speed back that's going to be used, you know, situationally. And, it's going to take the perfect type of landing spot for him to find fantasy relevance and relevance in the NFL.
Yeah, I couldn't agree with you more then. He's a back that's really fun to watch then. So yep. You almost want to stand up every single play he touches the ball then and just hope for these home run touchdowns every time then. So he had, I think he led the FBS with 54 runs of greater than 10 yards.
Yep.
Which is uber impressive. That's some guys don't have 54 runs over 10 yards in their career then. Mm-hmm. But he had that in this past year then. And I gave him sort of top marks and top speed, quickness, acceleration, elusiveness. He has the water bug moves then. So when he is in the open field, the defenses are crapping their pants per se then. So they, yep.
I think he's just so fast and he can change his speed so fast and get to top speed that he doesn't have to like, he's not a like out there juking people or doing spin moves and all this crazy like dead legs. Like he's not having to do much of that because he's just so much faster.
Yeah, he can cut and accelerate faster than anybody on the field then. But that's where he excels at. Obviously, he's, as you said, he doesn't have much as far as physicality. He's not going to break many tackles. Doesn't have power. I think his vision is not the greatest. He tries to cut everything outside, and too mm-hmm. often he goes outside. And it actually results in a lot of lost yardage I saw with him then. He's good open field vision, but like I say, he's not running in between the tackles, and it's strictly like a sort of a change of pace back then. And he's going to have to be in a committee then, but I think on the right team, he can be definitely a weapon then. But will this be fantasy relevant, or is he going to help the NFL team? I think he's probably going to help an NFL team, and I wonder if he has any returnability. I didn't necessarily see that then. His hands were a little suspect then too, so he had actually 14% of his attempts for catches were drops then. But he looks competent, but just other times maybe sort of concentration drops then. But like I said, it's going to be limited as far as his fantasy role in the NFL. I don't think he's going to get enough touches to be relevant unless he can sort of clean up those catches and have a little bit more relevance in the pass protection because it was pretty poor score then. But yeah, definitely a fun guy to watch and super fast, super elusive then.
Yeah, what score did you give him?
I gave him a 64. So he got okay. The marks in his speed, quickness, mm-hmm. elusiveness. Were pretty high and then, but then, like I said, the physicality breaking tackles, were pretty poor then. So
yeah, he was a 66 and came in at number 13. So, yeah, right there in the, same tier as Abanikanda and Ibrahim.
He's in that sort of that sixth tier that's just all bungled up. And then yep. like I said, this guy is still draftable. I think he's yep. maybe a late round draft pick for at least in the fantasy drafts. I'm not sure how what teams are going to value him. Like I said, it's going to depend on special teams value. If he's a
hey, you never know, man. Tennessee loves those speed backs that come out of ECU, so maybe they'll take him in the first round.
Yeah, but I think Chris Henry was like 20 pounds heavier than he was.
Chris Johnson, but yeah,
oh, Chris Johnson, yeah, yeah,
yeah. Chris Johnson was on another level.
yeah, he was different then. But yeah, like I said. Fun back to watch, questionable fantasy relevance, see what happens in the NFL draft then. Next up on the list, Cameron Peoples, App State then. So older guy, another soon-to-be 24-year-old then. So he came in at 6'1", 217 pounds, so good size, ran a 4.6140, 37-inch vertical, 10 feet, 1-inch broad jump, and had a 1.56 10-yard split then.
So 32nd percentile 40. 82nd percentile vertical jump, 67th percentile broad jump.
Yeah, so probably, and as far as production, he had his best year in 2020 then, ran for 1,100 yards then, but has gone down in production these past couple years. In 2022, he ran for 593 yards, 5.9 yards per carry, 5 touchdowns, and then only contributed 6 catches for 43 yards in the passing game then. So I guess I get Cameron Peoples to start off with then. So, I like to start with the positives. So I think he has good physicality. He has a decent stiff arm then. He didn't fumble, so he has good ball security this year then. And he can have some good leg drive, can break tackles, and he can be tougher to bring down then. And I think that is – and his pass protection. Oh, he has the best pass protection in the class then. So – yep. Actually scored an 8 on that then. He was at 80.6 at per PFF then. But then other than that, I think he's a long strider. He only really has build-up speed. He has pretty slow acceleration. Receiving is very limited usage. And the one – he does have one drop, so that was made up 17% of his catch attempts then. And I don't think he has – like I said, the vision is questionable, and then his patience. He runs into the backs of his offensive line then too, so it's I don't see it. I don't think he's going to be drafted. unless he has some special teams ability then. But he's actually second to last on my list as far as running backs then. So, and his score gets bumped up a lot because a lot of guys are bumped down because their pass score. So he's actually 63. But as far as my like and what I saw in film, he's second to last as far as my guys on my list then. I don't know if you saw anything different with him.
Yeah, I saw he's the worst rated running back in this class of the people we've scouted. So 58 for me was my lowest score. And the problem with him is he doesn't have a projectable role that I see in the NFL. So like the vision is very meh. Maybe you could say it's average, but he's not a creative runner. He runs where it's called and he can sort of get into the next level, but he can't do anything with it. So it's got to be blocked. And his patience is okay. I didn't think it was terrible. But the big thing that is the knock is that when you're 217 and you're a bigger back, especially 6'1", you got to get your pads down. Like you got to get your pads down and he does not get his pads down. He runs upright. He gets stopped in his tracks and he doesn't grind out those big extra yard carries or break tackles. He has okay contact balance, but after the hit on first contact, that's typically all he gets. He absolutely lacks top end speed. He never rarely would he win a race to the corner. And his acceleration is definitely below average. He has one of the worst start stops sort of in the class. And, his elusiveness is just not there. He's got a stiff arm and he can sort of stutter step you, but I mean, otherwise he's just sort of a sitting duck for the defense. So linebackers had an easy time getting on him and he doesn't offer much in the passing game. Like you said, I thought his hands might look okay, but he's not going to be an option there and got no usage. So only 5 catches on 8 targets. And, but like you said, he hangs on the football and he can pass protect. So I don't know. I mean, I don't think he offers you anything as an offensive playmaker. So I just don't know what his role is. I would be shocked if he gets drafted. I'm not sure that he sticks on a practice squad. So, we'll see what happens. I mean, the other thing is, I know this is film, we're looking at just film review, but his production steadily declined throughout his career at App State, and that's a huge flat red flag,
to top it all off, he's 24. Yeah, he'll be 24 so, when the season starts.
Not trying to hammer on him, but he doesn't excite me, so he will be off my draft boards no matter what happens.
Okay, moving on. next up, Deneric Prince out of Tulsa then. So 6 foot, 216 pounds, so ideal size then, and he tore up the combine then. So ran a 4.4140, had a 35.5-inch vertical, a 10 feet, 4-inch broad jump, and his 10-yard split was 1.53 yards. Wait, 1.53 seconds then.
So 92nd percentile 40, 68th percentile vertical jump, 82nd percentile broad jump.
And then as far as production, his best year was in 2022 here. So ran for 729 yards, 5.8 yards per carry for 5 touchdowns, and then had 9 receptions for 84 yards and 1 touchdown then. So tell us what you think about Mr. Prince here.
So Mr. Deneric Prince was not on our radar until the combine. So had to go back and cut his stuff up. But he reminds me of someone that was taken in the last couple years. Pierre Strong has a good combine, but when you put the film on, you're like, wow, this dude, he's not a good at the position at all. So his, the big things like the positive. So he's got good buildup speed. You don't see the quickness. Like he has very average burst from handoff through the line and his lateral quickness is very average. He's really stiff hipped and he might make a few miss every now and again, but his cuts are super prolonged. He's not elusive. And there was one, he got into the, second level and was, one-on-one with the safety and the safety easily tackled him. And no one else was around. So it was just, he doesn't have any, you would expect someone running 4.41 to be super elusive, but I would expect his 3 cone to be like 7, 7.5, something really, really slow. So,
okay. in the line of Mr. McIntosh.
So as far as vision, like he gets a lot of sort of between the tackles carries, and he just gets what's there. He sort of just runs where the defense is. And what I wrote here is it's when you're 216 pounds, you can't be a finesse runner. So he's a finesse runner in a power back body. So that doesn't spell success. He has a lot of extra wasted steps, and it leads to him, you know, not being as patient as he should. So he just does a lot of dancing back there. He has a lot of misreads, and he doesn't use his blocking as well as he should way too often. So doesn't break a lot of tackles, and you mix that with, like, he has, at least it looks like he has some receiving ability. He had 9 catches on 11 targets, but that's not a lot of volume, and wasn't very good in pass protection. And his ball security, 2 fumbles on 127 attempts, that's okay. But he reminds me of a Pierre Strong. I think because of his combine performance, people are going to draft him. I think he's probably like 5th, 6th rounder. But he's, I don't, these are the backs that I don't like because they're just athletic and they look good on, like, statistic wise. And, but when you look at the tape, like the hype is not there. So I'm probably out on him no matter if he gets drafted in the NFL draft or not. He came in at, he was number, he got a 60 for me and came in at number 20.
Yeah, I gave him a slightly better numbers than I gave him a 65 overall. Then I think there's some plays where I agree with you, he's more finesse than, but there's other plays where he actually lowers his pads. He tries to be a bigger back. He has a nice leg drive. He has a decent balance then. So I probably gave him higher numbers there than you did.
Yeah, I guess I got upset because there's too many times on first contact he just went straight down.
Oh yeah,
and
yeah,
then there's times like he lays a pop on somebody. Like it's like he got, you know.
It's very variable as far as what he decides to do in that play then. And there's a lot of times when he sort of spins off the guys then too, instead of just going right at him then too. But definitely good top end speed. Like I said, I agree with you. The acceleration quickness is probably not there. And his vision's okay. His line got him a lot of huge holes that were just like...
it reminds you of literally Pierre Strong. This is literally what his film looked like.
So he reminds me of actually Isaiah Pacheco. So a bigger body and then just more straight line speed then, and not much as far as that elusiveness, more tighter hips then. And we hated Pacheco then, but he went to the right system. And I think at Rutgers, he probably had a...
If anybody gets drafted to a good spot and they get volume, they're relevant to some extent. Pacheco, even in the best situation, will never be more than a fringe RB2. So, I mean, great. Like, take advantage of this stuff in the draft. Like, draft Pacheco around, you know, his ADP if you got a pick that you don't love somebody and trade it. Like, find a way to trade those guys. But...
I can't see that. Pacheco was, I think, of the guys we scouted last year, may have been the lowest rated one or at least close to the lowest rated one. And I think he just landed in the right situation. And and they wanted someone that was more physical than Clyde Edwards-Helaire then, and didn't want Ronald Jones to play. So they decided to go with Pacheco. But this may be a public service announcement to sell Pacheco. I would sell him for...
Oh, my goodness. Definitely sell Pacheco.
Yeah, for any... Maybe you could probably get 2 seconds out of a sucker out there.
I would take any second for Pacheco in this year's draft and not bat an eye.
And do it before
absolutely
the NFL draft then. Because
I think you can get more than just that, but...
Well, because I'm not overly confident that they don't try to not... I think they probably try to at least get someone else in the backfield there and possibly replace Pacheco then.
I'll be shocked I'll be shocked if they don't draft a pass-catching running back.
Yeah, but
to fill that McKinnon role.
Yeah, as far as back to Prince, then, like I said, I think I agree with you. I think he's just more of that tighter hipped, see that hole and go and get what's there then, and then maybe at times lower his pads, but I don't see much from him. I still think he's draftable if he gets in the right situation in your fantasy drafts, but I'm not looking actively to seek him out then. If I do get him and there's any hype whatsoever, I'm probably trading him right away then too. Yep. So it's just one of those guys that I think his combine is more impressive than the actual film then. So anything else on Mr. Prince?
Nope.
Okay. So we go from a prince to a king. So Bijan Robinson, Texas, 21 years old on the dot right now. So that's what I like to hear. 5'11", 215 pounds, 4'4", 640, 37-inch vertical, 10 feet, 4-inch broad jump, 1.52-second 10-yard split then.
So 84th percentile 40, 82nd percentile vertical jump, 82nd percentile broad jump.
And then production, 3 years of great production then. Definitely topped out this past year in 2022. Had almost 1,600 yards, 6.1 yards per carry, 18 touchdowns on the ground, another 19 receptions for 314 yards at 16.5 per pop then, and 2 touchdowns through the air. So you luck out this time here. You get to talk about Bijan first.
Yeah, so I try with these, especially guys that have gotten the most hype, I really grade them hard. I do my best to make them earn the big points. But there's a lot of stuff that Bijan Robinson does that is special. He does things that, you know, you just don't see on film. Things that the closest person that we've scouted the last few years has been Breece Hall as far as doing some of these things special. Because Bijan Robinson, to me, looks like LaDainian Tomlinson, like reincarnated. And LT was literally like my favorite running back of my childhood. So I love LT. So I'm a big Bijan fan. And so the things that he does special, he is so talented. He is so quick that he can be super, super patient behind the line. And he uses the perfect blend of patience with decisiveness. And so he'll hang back there a little bit and just let the lanes develop and go. He runs with such nice tempo. He's so smooth and quick twitch. He always finds a crevice. And if there's not a crevice there, he sort of somehow makes it happen. I don't know how he does that. I think it's because he's so strong. And he's got exceptional vision to take stuffed runs and make them big gains. I mean, there were runs that were dives that should have been a yard or a loss, and he turned them into first downs. Like, Texas could have run dive every play, and they would have been a pretty good offense. That you could load the box up on him, you do whatever you want, but he could make things happen on his own. He doesn't need help. He's that physically gifted. He runs exceptionally hard. He's very, very tough to bring down. And it's like when bodies hit him and when people's arms hit him, it's like gnats falling off. He literally carries dudes. I mean, there's plenty of tackles on tape where he's packing people down the field, like multiple people. So like, I don't give these out easy, but I gave out 10s for vision and patience because I've never seen a back be able to do what he is able to do. Every play is a potential home run. And I really, really liked him from a physicality standpoint and breaking tackles. I mean, like I said, he had 104 missed tackles forced on Pro Football Focus with 1,071 yards after contact on 257 carries. Like, those stats are incredible. And he's got just superb contact balance. Like, just, man, he's just phenomenal. I didn't expect he was going to come out and run 4.46. I thought he was maybe 4.5 at best, maybe 4.55, because he never, hardly ever does he have to go wide open. He doesn't have to throttle it up. It's like he's got an extra gear that if he needed it, he can use it, but he doesn't have to often. He's got super plus burst through the line and can flat cut on a dime. I mean, that LT dead leg those juke moves are just unprecedented. That's what Bijan can do. In open space, there's nothing you can do. He's got that plus jump cut. He can spin. He can, just oozing big play potential. Good ball security, only two fumbles on 257 carries in 2022. He did have three fumbles on 195 in 2021, but pretty good, grades out pretty good numbers. Solid in pass protection, and he's special in the receiving game. He only had 19 catches on 29 targets, so I didn't give him a 10, but oh my goodness. And he didn't have any drops in 2022, but he had a few drops in 2021, but he has elite hands, man. He has nasty one-hand grabs on tape, and his vision after the catch, like, it's incredible. So he's a legit weapon wherever I think he is landing spot proof. There is not a scenario. I can't even think of a situation where if he goes there, I still don't take him 1-1. Like, I think he's that sort of special, and wherever he's at, even if it's not this year, he's, you know, the top tier running back. I think he's a top five running back going forward, maybe even this year if he has the right landing spot. That's how special I think he is. So Bijan is, he's freaking awesome, dude.
Yeah, I think you exuded your love for Bijan. You should throw the hearts up. Remember, you got to get the hearts.
Yeah, see, I don't got the Skype. You just have to throw the hearts for me.
That's good. Throw the hearts for you.
Yeah,
but it's coming on my screen then. But so I'm going to start with the negatives for Bijan.
Well, still tell me what they are.
So here's the negatives. So I agree. Yeah, he has good patience, but I think at times he's probably too patient. There's times he needs to go a little bit faster then. And then the other thing, the only other negative I have on him is he's not a home run threat. So he's not a guy that's going to take it to the house on these long runs. I didn't see many, if any, long runs or like sort of long blow by everybody on the defense runs at Texas there on the film that we watched then. But other than that, like he's the most complete back in this class and one of the most complete backs as they come. And it was really tough thinking of a good comp for him. Like he's not Breece Hall. Breece Hall is more explosive back than he is. And but I think like Bijan's definitely more better all around rounded than. And then we were talking and then you were talking about Barkley. I'm like, he's not as fast as Barkley. I think Barkley's more of that sort of that freak athlete then. And then you mentioned LT, and I think that's the best comp that I've heard for Bijan. It's because of his receiving. So the thing I like most about him, and the only other 10 I gave in this class, other than I think for Gibbs for his acceleration, was Bijan's receiving ability then. So it was zero drops, had only 19 catches, but his hands were wonderful. Like, and he looks like another wide receiver out there, like another top line wide receiver or elite slot wide receiver then. And he could be an elite slot wide receiver in the NFL just with his hands alone then. And then seeing him at the combine, like you see the other guys that are really concentrating on catching and whatnot. And then it's just natural. He just, the ball just.
Yeah. Framing the ball on catches.
Yeah. And it's, you could tell those guys that just look natural and he was it then. So I find his receiving ability the most special part about him. And that really insulates him for years to come. So the guys that have the receiving ability and these PPR backs, they're not your just guys that are there for 3 or 4 years. They're guys that are there for 7, 8 years. Then they can count on then, at least being a running back two or fantasy relatant for you. And like you mentioned, his elusiveness. I got to comment on that again. His superb vision. Then his moves. He has a jump cut. He has a side step. Then he has a spin move. Great stiff arm. Then he has a complete arsenal. So he's a special back then, and easily my top running back for this class then. And like I said, he's one of the best running backs to come out that we've been scouting here going forward. Like I said, I really liked Breece then.
Him and Breece Hall are pretty doggone good running backs. So.
Yeah, and I really like Jonathan Taylor then coming out then. I actually like Clyde Edwards-Helaire, but he got Andy Reid then. But Bijan and Breece these past 2 years have been special then. And if your team was crappy and you got both of these guys on your team, that's pretty nice then too.
Yep.
But yeah, Bijan, complete back.
So my score for Bijan was a 91.
Yeah, I gave him an 81, but I don't give out 10s like Scotty's a kindergarten
teacher. What was your gap between
10s.
Him and Gibbs?
I think it was three points or so, if I can remember correctly.
That's awful close, man.
Yeah, but it's like I said, Gibbs alone got three more points just on his top end speed and quickness compared to Robinson here.
I get what you're saying with the patience thing, because if he's playing a team that has a good aggressive defense that's like coming downhill at him, then he goes. Like, he doesn't sit back there and just take the handoff and sit. But when he has a team that's sort of laying back and allowing him to attack, he will be uber too patient, but he's patient with a purpose. And he just explodes once he gets what he wants. I know what you're saying. I saw that on tape, and I was like, uh-oh. Like, is he as good as I thought he was? And then the more tape I watched, I was like, oh, man. This is
Kane to me, but another good cop would be Le'Veon Bell in his prime then.
Yeah. Well, see, Bell was just patient on every single carry.
If you had that Pittsburgh offensive line back in the day, and his receiving ability, like, that's what we're looking at. LT, Le'Veon Bell in his prime. Those are the good cops.
I feel like
Le'Veon Bell's not a burner then.
No, but.
Yeah, and Le'Veon Bell came in a lot heavier out of college and lost weight then too. But yeah, Bijan special. You got to take him 1-1 in any draft then.
Yep.
Single QB, super flex, tight end premium, all the above then. He's your 1-1 pick. It's, I hate to say, it's not a doubt. We had the 102 in a super flex league, and I was hoping that some guy would take the guy ahead of us to take a quarterback, but I can't see it happening. So unfortunately, that's what we're looking at. So I think we sung enough praises, and I think everyone knows Bijan's good, so let's move on.
Yep.
So Chris Rodriguez, Jr., out of Kentucky. So he came in at 6 foot, 217 pounds. His pro day, he ran a 4.5 240, so a pretty fast dude, and had a 33-inch broad jump then. No, sorry. You told me it was a broad jump earlier. 33-inch vertical. I think check that on my papers here too. So what percentiles you got?
So 65th percentile, 40. 37th percentile vertical jump.
Yeah, and then as far as production, these last 3 years, he's been very good then. His best year was in 2021, but this year he had an injury to start the year off. And he ran for 904 yards, 5.2 yards per carry, 6 touchdowns, and then had 5 receptions for 41 yards then, and no TDs then. So Chris Rodriguez definitely is a powerful dude, a strong back. He's going to make arm tackles look useless then. He's going to run guys over. He's actually has some pretty good build-up speed then. So I think it's more build-up than as opposed to quickness and acceleration then. So he can actually get some of these longer runs then, but he's not a guy that's going to be taken to the house on a regular basis by any means then. I think that as far as his ball security, he's very good at protecting the ball then. He's a pretty good pass protector when it comes to this class then. And the things where he sort of falls off on are, as we talked about before, the receiving. He's just not a threat. He had 5 catches, and Will Levis checked the ball down a lot this year, and it wasn't to him. So I don't think he trusted him too much from that standpoint. And he had a 17% drop rate. I know it was a limited sample size. So when you have one drop, it's a big amount then. But and then I think his vision and his patience weren't the best then. He could use more patience. He's more of a get it and go kind of guy then. And I think he could be like a goal line back then, or a power back in the NFL. But like I said, it's not an easy path for him being fantasy relevant. So he's sort of more like, have been very close to Roschon Johnson then. So I think they're very similar players then, as far as that goes, more that power back, straight line speed then, and just try to punch it in then. But I'm not sure if you've seen anything different with Chris Rodriguez.
Yeah, I think I liked him a little bit better. I think he's a little more complete than Roschon, but that's his, I mean, he's an early down running back that's going to be volume based, and he's more of, like you said, goal line back. So I thought, just like you said, the thing that jumps out is the, you know, contact balance, the gonna run you over really, really runs hard behind his pads, never goes down on first contact, and will absolutely punish you in the open field. He will just run you right over. So he breaks a lot of tackles. And, you know, like you said, I thought the vision was maybe just barely a little above average. He has some backside cuts in there, but he mostly just runs where it's called, you know, where the plays are called. And he doesn't have a lot of run creativity. His patience is okay. I feel like he uses his blocks pretty well. Typically, Kentucky has a pretty good offensive line, even though this year they couldn't pass block or maybe run block either, but definitely not pass block. And he, the thing that really, really turned you off is on film, he looked like average speed at best. And so I thought he was going to run a 4.6. So 4.52 is a great time for him at 217 pounds. Because he looks slower than that on film. And it shows in the quickness sort of acceleration stuff too. It's okay for his size, but his change of direction is super heavy. Not going to make people miss. He's got a little jump cut, but that's about his only move. And he's got an okay stiff arm. Not utilized in the passing game, even though he only had one drop, only 5 catches on 7 targets. And he hangs onto the football, only 1 fumble on 175 carries, but in 2021, he had 6, on 224 carries. So he's had a fumbling problem in the past. And pass protection, he does okay. So he got a 63 and, he's at my number 16 back. So, I don't hate him. But I think he's got to go somewhere where he gets the volume as the early down running back and he's not splitting carries, because that's where he's going to make his fantasy points, is on touchdowns. So he needs a good offense. He needs to have sole sort of utility as the early down back. He helped himself with his pro day with the 40. So that might put him on some people's draft boards, but, I'm not super excited. But I'll take a flyer late if he has a perfect spot.
Yeah, he needs to go to a place where they have a rookie quarterback and they're going to run the heck out of the ball and be very volume dependent.
Yep.
And the chances of that are not very good. So
nope.
Unless he can get that Tyler Algier type role.
Yep.
It's not going to look good for him then. But like I said, I actually liked watching him. I thought he was a good football player, but it said it's not an easy route for fantasy relevance then. But now, a guy that we both like pretty well and sort of came out of nowhere, Tajay Spears, Tulane then. So he's going to be about 22 years old when the season starts then. 5'10", 201 pounds, ran a 4.4, 7.40, had a 39-inch vertical and a 10 feet, 5-inch broad jump.
Yeah, so he did run at the combine, but the pro day is where he ran his 4.4, 7.40. So at the combine, he was 92nd percentile. Vertical jump, 87th percentile broad jump, and then that pro day 40 was 81st percentile.
So you get to start. You get on the good ones today.
Yeah, I lucked out today. So I'm glad you like Tajay Spears, because I was uber impressed. His vision, I ended up giving him a 10 for vision, because he sees blocks so well and he uses them really, really well. And he has a great blend of patience, sort of with that decisive running style. And he runs between the tackles so, so good. And for somebody that's 5'10", 201, to run between the tackles this well is not common. And he absolutely runs good outside the tackles. But for somebody this small, I didn't expect him to be a finisher. And, he gets a little high sometimes, but for the most part, he's a north-south, no-nonsense runner. Not going to run you over, but he's going to break plenty of tackles. Got really good contact balance. He's another one of those guys. 63 missed tackles forced with 1,052 yards after contact, and that's on 231 carries. Like, that's phenomenal. Top-end film speed, I thought, was very much above average. I thought he was easily 4.4. He ended up running a little slower maybe than what I thought. But there's times on film when you think he's gone. He's literally all Tulane has. So you got to think about it like this too. He's tired. Like, he's getting the ball like every play you can't keep your stamina up like that. So sometimes those big long runs, you're going to get caught by the safety. And so you saw some of that on film. But oh my goodness, elusiveness, quickness. His burst to elude tacklers is awesome. Super quick feet, lateral quickness is super special. Jump cut is special. And his, when you put him in a phone booth, he's going to juke you out of your shoes. He is right there with, Mr. Gibbs. So I was pretty impressed there. And his ball security for someone this small, only two fumbles on 231 carries and only three in his career on 427. That's really good. He had graded good in pass protection, and he can do it in the receiving game. 22 receptions on 28 targets, only two drops, and he put up similar numbers the last couple years. Great hands, and he has upside as a weapon there. And so, oh man, I really, really like Tajay Spears. He got a 79 for me, which ended up putting him at number five in the class. I don't think because of his size, I think that will keep him in a tier, like the start of a tier. You probably got, Bijan at the top tier, then Gibbs, and then Charbonnet and Miller together, and then Spears starts another tier for me. But, man, I like Tajay Spears a whole lot.
Yeah, I like him a lot then, too. I have been that Charbonnet, Kendre Miller.
So you have him right there with him. You'd be comfortable all three of those guys?
Yeah, obviously landing spot dependent. The other thing that I do worry about this guy, he already had a ACL tear then.
Yep.
In 2020, so that's a thing you have to worry about then. I don't know if he's going to have a shorter career because of that.
Some people tear their ACL and come back better.
Frank Gore.
Yeah.
Nick Chubb, he's all the things you said I agree with then. He has a very good top end speed, so I thought he'd actually run faster than that 4.47. Mm-hmm. I actually looked faster than I thought Bijan then on the playing field then. Good quickness acceleration then. He has a good vision. He tends to cut it outside a lot then, which I think is he's very effective with that then. So I wish he would run more inside at times then, but very good at what he does with that then. And good balance. He slips tackles and sheds. I think he's still shedding USC players right now, Trojans.
Yep. yep.
So that's when he came on my radar. I was watching that USC game when they had that great comeback against them. And I was just joking with my home league buddies that I was saying, like, oh, I'm drafting Tajay Spears now.
Yep.
And then when I saw his film, then I'm like, wow, he did this to everybody then. Mm-hmm. And he's a very smooth. He's probably the smoothest runner in this class. There's no wasted motion or effort then.
Well, let's not get carried away now. Bijan's pretty smooth.
No, Bijan is more like body movements and whatnot then.
Tajay's a gear shifter, man. He's got that BMW gear shifting going on.
Yeah, it's just no like they're when you shift a gear in this guy, it's just smooth. It's like a instead of having like an old processor, then you have a solid state then. So there's no, no wasted motions there. And he's very bendy then too. He has great hips then. He's really fun in the open field. And I don't know if you watched the USC game, not the USC game, the UCF game then.
Yeah.
He slithered and sulked and just weaved his way through the whole UCF secondary for 60 yards. And it was just effortless, and it was like I said, I just wrote hashtag smooth, very fluid runner. So I love this guy then. I wish he was used more in the passing game. I didn't see anything like special there, but he's definitely competent then and solid, and he has potential there to take that to the next level in the NFL then. So definitely a guy having my third tier, separate tiers for Bijan and separate tier for Gibbs then. I can see this guy sneaking into the first round of your single QB rookie drafts then. So
yeah, got to get the draft capital. That's the thing that holds me up on him. Just like I really liked Ty Chandler last year. He went to Minnesota, and so that wasn't a great landing spot. So that ended up, but I see Tajay Spears as that definite early second round running back that if he gets a situation that he can get some, you know, volume and he's not buried as like the number three guy on the depth chart, he's a easy lock in first round pick. So I just hope he doesn't get killed by draft capital, because I'm excited about him. Him and Eric Gray both.
Yeah, like I said, he's a very, very fun back to watch then, but we'll have to see where it goes. So next up on the list, Sean Tucker, Syracuse, 21-year-old. So it'd be 21 and a half to start the year. 5'9", 207 pounds then, and did not participate in the 40 or any of the time drills at the combine. And I don't think he didn't participate in his pro day either.
No, he said some medical issue. So I don't know what the injury is. We'll find out, I guess. Maybe he'll do some private workout or something.
Yep, and he was a very productive back in college then. 2021 had almost 1,500 yards rushing then. And then in 2022, he ran for just over 1,000 yards, 5.1 yards per carry, 11 touchdowns, and then contributed 36 catches for 254 yards and 2 touchdowns through the air then. So I think I get the pleasure for Sean Tucker then. So, so he's another sort of back that's very complete then. I don't know if he does anything extremely special. I think he's more of I gave him the comp of Damian Harris.
That's a great comp.
So that's a
awesome comp.
Yeah, very, very solid then. Sort of that fire hydrant type build then. And always falls forward, has good balance, sheds tackles then. Decent vision on the inside then. Some decent patience then. His top end speed was, I thought he'd be better, because I was reading that he ran the 55 meter dash in high school and was a champion in that then. But it didn't seem like his top end speed. I probably put him at a 4.55 type of
really?
Guy.
Really, I thought he was going to have some build up speed. So I said 4.45. So
yeah. So I and then his burst wasn't as good as I thought it would be. Then he can get to the outside, but I don't know if he can get to the outside as easily in the pros. Then I think he may get caught there. So and I think he has quick feet, but he also is not super elusive. And I think when he tries to sidestep, he loses some speed that way then too. He had 36 catches, but he had 5 drops. So 12% drop rate then. He does line up outside, but he's not necessarily overly dynamic. I think he can be a weapon in the passing game, but I don't see him having that guaranteed role, just these drops just everything I saw. He had one fumble this year, and he makes a conscious effort to hold the ball up high and nice and tight then. So I think he does a very good job at protecting the ball then. And he's a decent pass protector. So he, like I said, does everything good to very well then. But like I said, I don't think he's special, but he still comes in that fourth tier for me then. So a guy that I would be happy to have on my team, but I'm not necessarily going to be drafting him super high then, but probably more that third-ish round, early third round is what we're looking at. Depending on draft capital for Sean Tucker.
Yeah, I think he's the type of running back that's going to be a really good NFL running back, but not a good like fantasy team running back. He's not going to score a lot of points, but he's going to be a solid back, and teams are going to love him. Like he's going to be drafted pretty, you know, third, fourth round. I think he's got that kind of that kind of capital, I think, coming. So we have literally one more running back to go other than Sean Tucker, and we've agreed pretty solid on all these running backs, which never happens.
Yeah, we usually have like two or three disagreeing on them, but
you're pretty spot on with what I saw. I thought he had above average vision. There's times he's a little indecisive, but he's the problems he has with his vision is just sort of running, you know, through the A gap. I feel like he, you know, really struggles a little bit there, but otherwise he's pretty good. He's got excellent patience, uses his blocks. Maybe the best in the class. Like he is. That's how you run the football. Like you just using his blocks super well. And his physicality. I thought that it was okay, maybe a little above average, but he doesn't really seek contact. So he breaks a few tackles, but not really as many as you'd expect. But I thought he had real good build up speed. I ended up giving him a 7 there because I thought he would be 4.45 range. And I think he's faster than he is quick. So I think he has the long end speed, But his, like you said, that elusiveness, I didn't think was there. I thought he came to a stop on a lot of his cuts. And as long as he's a downhill one-cut runner, like, he does okay. But when he's trying to, like, make these special cuts to make people miss, there's too many gather steps. And if he's not going north to south, I think that it really limits his ability, because he just doesn't have that special burst. He's a body catcher, and he has some bad concentration drops. So five drops, you know, on 30 with 37 targets, or 37 catches on 52 targets with five drops. And that shows up there. And his, like you said, ball security is good. Pass protection is good. I would really love to see him run a 40, because I think he gets that 4.45 speed. If he doesn't have that hurts my upside of him. He came in as he got 67, which puts him at number 12 in the class. But he's a guy that I would absolutely take in the third round, no problem. And I think he's going to have decent enough draft capital that gets the right landing spot. He can be a solid flex. He could be Damian Harris. That's who he is, Damian Harris. That's an awesome comp for him.
And Damian Harris, when he got the volume that one year in New England, he was a very productive back, a guy you could trust week in and week out. Then wasn't going to score you huge points unless he got in the end zone a couple times, but still was very solid then. So definitely a safe third round back. I think he's going to be in the NFL for a while then. So
yep.
And then after his rookie deal, he can start getting 1 year contracts, and it's like every other running back out there.
Yep.
So to finish up our 2023 rookie running backs here, we have Deuce Vaughn out of Kansas State then. So this is not a typo or misspoke. He is 5'5", so 5 feet, 5 inches, a very stout 5'5", at 179 pounds, so the same weight as Keaton Mitchell, who came in at, I think it was, he was 5'8", so 3 years, three inches shorter, but still the same weight then. He did not run a 40, but he had a 35.5-inch vertical and a 9'8" broad jump.
Yeah, so 68th percentile vertical, 26th percentile broad jump.
And as far as production, so very productive back, had a good freshman year, and then had excellent 2021 and 2022 seasons. And this year he ran for 1,558 yards, 5.3 yards per carry, 9 touchdowns. Actually had 18 touchdowns on the ground last year in 2021. And then he had 42 catches for 378 yards, 9 yards per catch there, and then 3 touchdowns. So Deuce Vaughn, tell me what you think about Mighty Mouse. That's my comp for him.
If Mighty Mouse was 3 inches taller and wasn't a pound heavier, he would probably be the number 2 back in this class.
And wasn't a pound heavier?
He doesn't have to be a pound heavier. I don't even care. Like, he doesn't run.
He has to have more.
Well, he's got to be heavier, of course. Yeah. But this dude is special, man. Golly,
3 inches taller and close and 200 pounds.
Yep,
he'd be a very, very
small on film that it looks like you're like it's a video game or it's like something that's not real.
Or it's like in Madden when you create the
creative player. He's a creative player, dude.
6'8" and like 500 pounds, but they can run 99 speed, or you make the smallest guy, and that's him.
Yep.
What is the smallest in Madden? I never actually looked.
I don't know, but this is the smallest back, I think, in combine history.
Maybe 5'5". Like, I don't know. Maybe 5'6". I don't know what the smallest in Madden is. Look that up.
But yeah, so he does not run 5'5", 179. I was so impressed with Deuce Vaughn that I don't think I can. A lot of teams are going to be out on size. They're not even going to worry about it. They're not going to scout him. They're not going to bother. He's out. But that's a big mistake. This dude is special, man. I've never seen a running back this small be this effective. His vision is very, very good. He got a 9 for vision. Great blend of his vision, the patience and decisiveness, and if he's bottled up, like, between the tackles, like, you stack the box and you bottle him, funnel him in, he's limited then. He's in trouble. But as long as you can let him get a little bit of running room or even a little bit of a lane, he's going to do great. He can hide behind those blockers and just he's a heat-seeking missile that's at the ground, and you can't get him. His center of gravity is so low that I think he's so atypical that he's going to be hard for NFL linebackers to be able to get. So I still love him. He's not going to be able to run people over, but his center of gravity and his leverage is so good that he's just great. His home run speed is there. Like, I absolutely suspect he's 4.4. He probably is a little faster, but
I don't know about 4.4.
I think he's 4.4. Now, quickness.
If he was 4.4, he would have ran.
Quickness wise, he would run a stupid good 3-cone. like 6.5 easy. Like, he might even be fat. He should have ran the 3-cone because I think he would have been like 100th percentile.
His 101 percentile.
Yeah, he plus burst, gets to top end speed super fast. He's got a plus jump cut, plus juke, literally can cut on a dime. He can spin. And he makes people sit down. Like, he's so slippery. There's it's like broken your ankles, like nasty crossover. People laying on, like, sitting on their butt. Like, he's that kind of special. And he can catch. His hands are phenomenal. Now, his catch radius is not great. So he's like, he's like, gonna be able to separate underneath. It's like, you're not gonna use Deuce Vaughn as a down the field. Down the field threat.
They did.
But I know he was. But you have to drop it.
That corner fades the end zone. Yep.
If you put this
it
dude,
it worked out well, but they yep. saw it.
You put this dude right here in Cincinnati and let Joe Burrow drop him dimes. Oh my dear, he can do it all, man. And he doesn't fumble. How does someone this small not fumble? Like, one fumble on 291 attempts. And then
because,
in 2021,
when they try to punch the ball out, all they're getting is arms because
probably, like, he is so, Deuce Vaughn is so atypical that I don't discount him because of his size. So, like, when we do our non-film score, we have a measurable section where we, you know, take away points based on height and weight, you know, in regards to our typical running back size, and he got a 6 out of 15. So
can you give him a 1.
No, because he's still, so he got 6 out of 15.
Any measurable.
Well, you get a point off for, you know, every so many pounds, lighter than the ideal weight, and somewhat like an inch off or a point off for each inch. But 6 out of 15 is definitely the lowest I've ever given. And I don't care. I do not care. If there's a team that takes him and he gets a landing spot where he can, if he gets the draft capital and someone gives him a chance to run the football, he's going to be a phenomenal play. So I feel super confident with him being my number 6 back. And I just hope that other teams base their evaluation on his film and not his size only.
Yeah, I gave him a decent score, so good score. But
so 78, what did you give him?
68.
And he came in where?
He's in that tier 5, that no man's land. So he's
tier
probably,
5?
Yeah, he's in that 10 to 13 range as far as the running backs.
Okay.
So I definitely bump him down for he's physical for his size, but he's not a guy that's going to get a constant power push. He's not a goal line back then, even though he had 18 touchdowns in 2021. He's not going to break many tackles unless it's like people just whiffing at him then. He has good leg drive and balance, but he's not a guy that's going to bust out of, like, they actually have a hold of him tackles then. Top end speed, I think he's a decent top end speed, wonderful quickness and acceleration, wonderful quick feet, and instant cutting. So definitely great there. And he has great hands. Like, he's a phenomenal catcher, but the catch radius is definitely limited then. It's not going to be you got to throw it at his body. And if it's not, it's going to be difficult for him to corral then. Good as far as the fumble numbers then. And then his pass protection obviously is a weakness just based on his size then. So I think that hurts him as like a third down back. And then his catch race hurts a third down back. I just don't – his – if he was heavier, mm-hmm. if he was taller, he would he would be a top back in this class, but it's just that at 5'5", you can't overcome that. Like, he's not going to be, if he's doing everything
he can to overcome it.
Well, yeah, I think he is a phenomenal college back, and I think he'd get away with that in college. Well, but
okay,
in the NFL, I just don't see it. Like, I see him playing in the NFL. Like, but maybe along the lines of like a Boston Scott then, where he's getting touches here and there, but not a featured back that you're going to have as a starting fantasy option. Then I can't see that. So I can't rate him high as you are as number six in the class, and I had to bump him down at least to the 10-13 range then. And I probably wouldn't even draft other guys ahead of him because they're going to get better draft capital, because other teams are going to be having completely off their board just based on his size alone then. Like I said, I don't think you could discount him because of his size, but we had Jarrett Patterson out of Buffalo a couple years ago. He got completely dismissed then because of his size then.
This guy's not getting dismissed. I don't think.
We'll see, but it's tough.
It only takes one team. Like I said, probably half the league's going to have him off their board, which stinks. Because on film, he's special in my eyes. But if Maurice Jones-Drew at 5'7" can do what he did, this dude reminds me of Maurice Jones-Drew.
Yeah, but Maurice Jones-Drew was 210 pounds at least. So he was... This guy's compact.
But this guy runs like that, dude.
Maurice Jones-Drew was like a fire hydrant that was on steroids.
Listen, Mighty Mouse, I don't know, man.
You like the Mighty Mouse.
I love him, dude. I hope and pray that he gets a spot when somebody takes a chance on him, because they're going to be rewarded. They will be rewarded.
Mighty Mouse.
But I didn't say this, but yeah, abysmal in pass protection, obviously. So
yeah,
he's not a body in the way.
So and that's why I said that the third down back, that's going to be an issue then too.
It doesn't matter. They don't, and third down, you know what they're going to do? They're going to put him in the slot, let him be a slot receiver.
Yeah.
And he's going to separate. It doesn't matter.
But is a quarterback even going to be able to see him?
Well, you got to have a good quarterback.
you got to have a great yeah. offensive line. Great throwing lanes too, because you can't.
Yep.
Everything has to be kneecap level.
Yep.
And, but when you're talking about him, NFL linebackers, I'm just imagining 6'5", Tremaine Edmonds, who's now a Chicago Bear, was a Bill here just a few weeks ago, 6'5", trying to tackle this guy.
You saw that on film. People were going over top, and he was like a missile right underneath him.
Yeah.
So
like I said, we saw him last year. Who was the quarterback out of Kansas State? I can't remember who it was. Skylar Thompson.
Yeah.
We saw Deuce Vaughn. I'm like, man, this guy's awesome. And then I look him up and like, oh crap, he's 5'5".
Yep.
179 pounds.
Yep. So,
but he was the whole team. So at least last year.
There's plays where I was like, do you think he can run underneath his lineman's legs? Do you think he can just run under him?
If there's a strong guy that can just pick him up and just throw him over the line then too.
Yep.
At goal line situations. Yep. That'd be sweet.
I really like Deuce Vaughn, and I hope he gets a landing spot and somebody takes a chance on him.
I just want to see him play in the NFL.
If not, he's going to come down the rankings pretty heavy, because when you count in this non-film score, he's going to drop pretty good.
Yeah, because his measurables, I don't think he satisfies any measurable.
Yeah, that's going to be tough. And
like I said, I think he's top speed is not elite either, because I think he would have ran if he had
4.4.
I think he's probably more a 4.5 kind of guy. So. And he's definitely quicker than he is fast.
Yeah.
And I think his probably his leg length is what limits that top end speed then. But I think his leg length also helps his quickness and his
burst. I bet he's got the fastest, 10-yard split.
I
guarantee it.
Yeah, it's probably pretty high.
Yep.
Yeah, but like I said, Deuce Vaughn, fun player, excellent college running back. I don't see an obvious path in the NFL, but maybe times change, so maybe there's something out there for him then. But
give him a spot. Kansas City drafts this dude.
But he's not going to get volume then. If he got volume in the NFL, he's not going to hold up to that. I know he held up in college, but that's Big 12 defenses suck.
Well, I mean, maybe so, but it's not like he wasn't packing carries. He had like 600 carries in 2 years.
Yeah, but
so like he can handle the workload.
I think he's definitely a baller, but the size is a limited factor.
I'm rooting for him, man. If there's one back I'm rooting for in this class, I'm rooting for Deuce Vaughn.
You know what I want to see?
What?
Bryce Young at 5'10" and Deuce Vaughn on the same team.
Well,
in that backfield, and then have linemen that are all like 6'5".
Well,
that'd be awesome.
Well, I mean, you need somebody who's highly accurate if you're going to be able to play him out of the slot a little bit.
We need a short wide receiver crew then too.
Yeah,
install all like little speedsters then.
Yep.
Get a lot of Elijah Moores out there. Yeah, but Deuce Vaughn, a fun player, excellent college player. I hope he succeeds in the NFL then, but it's not a clear and obvious path. That's all I can say. So that is our running backs. So we got the quarterbacks done. We got the running backs done. What are we moving on next? Is it tight ends?
Yep, tight ends.
Tight ends then. So, as always, check out the YouTube channel, the Dynasty Interview. Scotty has all these films cut up then. So if you want to see Deuce Vaughn, I highly suggest watching the Deuce Vaughn video.
Yes,
lots
definitely.
Of fun. And check out Bijan, check out Gibbs, check out Tajay Spears then, Kendre Miller then, who I love. Throw the hearts up again.
Yep.
Yeah, so check them all out then. And then if you have any questions or thoughts, hit us up on Twitter then. And enjoy the rest of the draft season then too. So check out we'll have after the tight end show, we'll have the wide receivers then, and we'll have probably have to have at least 4 wide receiver shows.
That's probably, yep.
Tight ends would be probably
2.
2 at most.
Yeah, it'll be 2.
Yep. Anything else, Scotty?
Nope. That's it.
Okay. So, Joseph Adrian signing off.
And this is Scott Martin, and you just listened to the Dynasty Interview Fantasy Football Podcast.